Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Listen to Windy City Queercast, show number 510. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Scott Duff.
And we are jet-lagged.
Oh my God.
From hours Oscar of night. The Oscars.
Gay Christmas has turned into gay Lent, man.
It's really.
It like takes.
It's like gay Passover.
It's like, it really is. It's like a sad Jewish holiday where you are dehydrated and road weary and woof.
Yep.
It's an event. Why does it take so long to hand out those awards?
I don't know, but I don't think pho was enough for us to eat to sustain us, even though it was good, like
it was
in the first
really
30 or 45
I
minutes.
I need a snack.
I need to be having an IV drip.
I know, I need
Oscars.
A slow IV drip. Otherwise, I'm going to be like, I'm kind of like Adele, who was like, I am Kristen Chenoweth during the red carpet, like... She's going to eat her.
Like she's a little
like
snacky
Like she was a little
snack.
Tiny like animal cracker.
A wheat thin.
She was a wheat thin. And Adele looked like she's like, I'm going to eat you.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. We watched the, we did the red carpet. Maybe that made it feel longer. Because the red carpet being an hour and a half was
Yeah, and we
too
sat
long.
There and just listened to everything they had to say too.
Yeah.
Because we're good gays.
We're good gays. Well, because I thought that was be where the you know, the money would be. That the good stuff would be. But I don't know. It felt kind of like a humdrum Oscars, like even though there were lots of different awards being given out in different categories of different films, and there were a lot of good films this year, I just didn't feel like we had that Oscar moment until maybe close to the end, and we'll talk about that.
Oh yeah,
talk about that later. But the red carpet was hosted by like
crazy crackhead Kristen Chenoweth. What like? Do you ever see that Saturday Night Live commercial with Kelly Ripa about Pantene now with crack cocaine?
No.
Like, and she's just really jacked up. Like, that's what it felt like. Kristen Chenoweth was like, I'm coming through the screen at you. And I'm tiny. And she kept taking off her shoes.
Yes.
Why, just to show how short she is. Yes, we know you're
we
short.
We can see you in comparison to every other
yes,
person that you're
you
talking to.
You are a tiny, tiny person.
Yes. And then she said that she was petite to Adele.
I know. I know. Like going, hey, you're fat.
You're big and tall and
you're
like
big and
a
tall
giant.
And fat, but you know what? You sound good.
You sound good, and I wish I had your career. I wish I'd won that many Grammys, but
right?
I've won some Tonys.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, it was really, really interesting because it was obviously this year the show was produced by a couple of gays.
Clearly.
Neil Maron and Craig Zaden, who everybody knows from,
Smash
or other things, Hairspray and all of these things. That's why we had a John Travolta sighting.
Oh, there we go.
That's why. But the, you know, the red carpet had Kristen Chenoweth kind of spearheading with Lara Spencer, Robin Roberts, who came back, which is
looking
super,
great.
Super cool. That was
comeback
a goal.
Comeback story.
Love her. Kelly Rowland, who...
looked so out of place.
She did, but I love that Kelly was there. You
Kelly
know,
is so trying to be like, look, Beyonce's not the only one that can do this, okay?
But she's fierce. I love me some Kelly
Rowland. I enjoy the Kelly Rowland, too.
I know you
but do. But she kept saying that she wanted to ask him a question and stuff like that. And I'm like, Kelly, Kelly.
I liked Kelly.
I
know. She looked fierce at the
Super Bowl. Looked fantastic. She looked fantastic tonight, too. Yeah. So did Charlize Theron.
Oh. Huh. The red carpet.
The red carpet, that Christian Dior haute couture situation going on with that short hair.
Yeah. She shaved her head for the new Mad Max film. And I had seen, you know, that she was keeping it really, really shaved, but it was a little longer. So maybe she just grew it out a little bit for the Oscars or something.
She got little nubby extensions put in.
Yeah, little nubby extensions. She looked gorgeous. She was stunning. It's hard to make Charlize Theron look anything other than gorgeous.
Well, except Monster.
Yeah, well, that's true. But it took prosthetics.
It took prosthetics
and tons of weight and
30 pounds.
Consciously trying to look as horrible as she could possibly look. She looked really beautiful. I thought Zoe Saldana looked gorgeous.
She was beautiful.
I loved the shades of gray, 50 shades of gray dress that she had on. And she's going to be doing a Nina Simone biography film, which I find interesting.
Yeah.
A casting choice, but I think she's a great actress. So, I mean, you know, Avatar aside, I think it'll be really interesting to see her. I think she's so pretty.
She's really pretty.
But who knows if she can sing? I guess
who knows
she
if
can.
She can act? That's the thing. Like, she's been in all these movies.
Well,
oh, here's the thing.
Okay.
She's been in all these movies that, like, I am a science fiction person. Like, oh, I'm Avatar, but we never saw her. Was she in Traffic?
I thought she was in Traffic. I could be wrong. Okay.
That drug movie?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
All right.
IMDb it.
IMDb it while you talk.
I don't know, but I think that she's just really, really breathtakingly gorgeous.
Yeah, she is really, really, really gorgeous. I thought that she looked stunning. Who else did you think was beautiful?
I liked Hugh Jackman's gigantic lady wrestler wife with her Madonna ponytail and a sensible pantsuit. I'm telling you, she was great.
They're
a kooky couple.
They're so Australian.
They are. Like,
they're so outback.
You can just picture her with a machete hacking away at some stuff and then like, Crocodile Dundee and like bringing home like a kangaroo head for Hugh. She's like, look. All of a sudden she became Scottish. I'm like, look what I found.
Yeah, she was not in Traffic. I think I'm wrong.
Yeah, I think you're wrong.
Maybe
with
I'm
that.
Not. I don't know. She's been in a lot of movies lately, so that's why they're listing. I'm on my iPhone. It's
oh,
not
dear Lord.
Well.
Stop
but
doing
anyhow,
that.
Anyhow, she can be in the new Star Trek movie, so I guess you're right.
Yes, I mean, she does like science fiction stuff.
But that dress
and, like,
was
she looked really, really
beautiful.
It's futuristic and beautiful and lovely.
Yeah.
Nicole Kidman, I can't move my forehead.
What in the world?
She and Keith Urban are the most beautiful lesbian couple in Nashville.
They
are.
To quote me.
Amy Matheny. Oh my gosh.
They're so pretty.
They're really pretty together, and I can't
really
wait for their folk album to come out.
I can't
and
either.
Their U-Haul
I can't
pulling
either.
Up. Can we talk about, speaking of Nicole Kidman, user-friendly Nicole Kidman, Naomi Watts.
Yes.
What the hell was she wearing? It was like she was baking a potato in her left breast. You know, it's like this weird, like, here's a tin foil packet for my boob.
You can keep it on your plate and open it halfway through the Oscars.
Put some, like, butter and just, like, gnaw away at it because you're hungry.
She looks so beautiful chin up. Like, her makeup was flawless. Her hair was flawless.
And then she had the left baked potato boob.
Yeah, I didn't really, really love that. You know what made me giggle? I'm just going to go back to Zoe Saldana just for 1 second, though, because they asked her. Whoever was interviewing her, maybe it was Kristen Chenoweth, like, what was the first movie you ever remember seeing?
No, it was Kelly Rowland. She was asking dumb questions.
Was that her?
Yes.
I don't remember who asked. But somebody asked us, and she said, The Hunger. And I wanted to go, girl,
that was
the first movie that made me know I was a lesbian. Is she a lesbian? Was that like a little under the rug thing?
Maybe.
I don't know.
She did date Bradley Cooper, who did look very handsome tonight.
She didn't say, I did not like the slick back hair.
He always looks a little smarmy and sweaty, but he brought his mom.
He did bring his mom.
Mom.
You had on Marabou.
You had on Marabou.
Because she heard the gays were producing
and weird
the show.
Vans. Like, her shoes were like these little like sneakers.
I don't know. I thought that who was it that we thought looked so beautiful? George Clooney's date.
Oh my God, Stacey Keibler looked awesome.
She looked really beautiful. She looked
gorgeous. And Halle Berry on the red carpet, the dress didn't do so well. But when she came out to introduce that James Bond stuff, oh, the James Bond stuff, just stop right there. But when she came out with the James Bond stuff, she looked so Bond girl, and it looked awesome on stage.
Yeah. There were no real risks of the people that they were going to be shooting. Now, there probably will be when we pick up a People magazine or whatever you pick up, and they show all the other people who are at the Oscars that the camera wasn't. But there weren't any real risk takers this year with color or... I mean, when you know when aubergine is a risk, you know, with Ben Affleck's wife, Jennifer Garner, that, you know, that's a very conservative year.
Are Jennifer Garner's ears taking over her face?
I don't know, but they were covered mostly from her hair.
Well, because they had to distract, otherwise they might catch like an updrift and she would fly away like Dumbo. She got really big ears.
I've never noticed.
They're pretty crazy.
I'm looking at yours now going,
I know, mine are pretty intense too. Crazy long earlobes that go like, they can wiggle. But yeah.
You and I disagree. I thought Channing Tatum was so hunky. And then I loved his little moment.
His little moment with Charlize was great.
Because he can play like that very suave, graceful thing. And then he can like walk off stage like he is a 2013 stud.
Well, because he is a 2013 stud.
Or a straight woman. What? But I was going to say, I'm not a straight woman, but he's kind of manly.
He's very manly, but he's also like, Channing Tatum.
But he's not. He's clever.
I make movies.
He was clever for dinner tonight. Mm. Okay. Staying just with the looks, and then we're going to break, and we're actually going to talk about the Oscars. it was the year of the beard. What is happening? Well, is the 70s coming back?
That's going on all over the place these days. Everybody's got some scruffy thing going on, working it. Sometimes it's
It wasn't scruff, though. This was like a beard.
No. Like, yeah, well, you know. Sorry, your light just went out. That was very creepy. No, like everyone's like, they're growing these full beards, and it's kind of like the new hipster, like, thing.
Yeah, it's like we're having Mumford and Sons and the Lumineers, this like banjo country music at the Grammys, and we're having full beards at the Oscars. It's like 1970s, like all over again.
George Clooney with a full beard.
Interesting.
Yes.
Well, very dashing.
You know who also had a full beard?
Who?
Jennifer Lawrence. Right up here. She looked great, though. She looked kind of like she was like she'd be on top of a wedding cake.
Yeah.
A little bit, but she looked good.
She looked good. I thought she looked great. Oh, Anne Hathaway.
Pretty Anne Hathaway with that sexy little back thing going on.
She's very Audrey Hepburn.
What's cutie schmoop? Little cushy shifu to pichichicha.
Kavanchine.
Cushy shifu, yeah. She was just so... With her little puppy dog purse.
Her puppy dog purse. Like little Dorothy Gale of Kansas.
Totally. She was so cute.
Yeah, she's a little spirited thing and announced that she was going to be doing Annie, which is super cool.
I know, because Willow Smith whipped her hair one too many times back and forth.
I whip my hair around or whatever it is.
Oh, no.
That's not it.
Just stop.
Okay. We're going to break for the GLBT news and what's going on in the theater world, and then we're going to come back. We're going to talk more about the Oscars. Scott Duff and I on the Oscar Post Show.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News. Speculation is growing that President Obama will name gay California Assembly Speaker John A. Perez, the Democrat from Los Angeles, as the next Labor Secretary. If chosen, Perez would become the first out person named to a cabinet-level post in a presidential administration. His departure from Sacramento would also set off a scramble for his successor in the powerful legislative post Perez has held since 2010. He is the first out person to be Assembly Speaker in California.
Defense Secretary Leon Panetta announced that the Pentagon is extending benefits to same-sex partners of military service members, including the right to visit their loved ones in military hospitals. The military has 60 days to extend these benefits.
The percentage of adults in the United States who identify as LGBT ranges from 1.7% in North Dakota to 5.1% in Hawaii and 10% in the District of Columbia. This new largest population-based survey ever was conducted by Williams Institute and includes the measurement of LGBT identification. Most states are within 2 percentage points of the nationwide average of 3.5%.
Citing the marriage equality cases pending before the U.S. Supreme Court, Indiana legislators decided to delay a vote on amending the state's constitution to ban same-sex marriage until next year. The amendment would have to be approved again this year or next before going to voters for final ratification in 2014. However, if the Supreme Court finds such measures violate the U.S. Constitution, that could negatively affect Indiana's process.
PFLAG founder Jeannie Manford will be honored by President Obama with the 2012 Presidential Citizens Medal. The medal is the country's second highest civilian honor. Manford, who passed away in January at the age of 92, and her husband Jules co-founded the organization PFLAG in 1972.
Robbie Rogers, a midfielder for both the U.S. national soccer team and for teams in the United Kingdom, came out of the closet and also announced his retirement at the age of 25. Rogers made the announcement on his website, saying that he was ready to discover myself away from football. In addition to his soccer career, during which he played in the 2008 Olympic Games in Beijing, Rogers is the co-owner of the menswear brand Halsey.
Denver Nuggets star Kenneth Faried has become the first NBA player to join Athlete Ally, an organization devoted to fighting homophobia in sports. Faried, nicknamed the Manimal for his ferocity on the court, was raised in New Jersey by two mothers. Faried recently appeared with his mothers in a video for the advocacy group One Colorado in order to encourage Colorado to legalize civil unions.
Jennifer Beals reunites with L Word creator Eileen Chaikin on the new ABC series, Venice. Venice is a soap about the haves and have-nots in the titular California city.
Out Magazine has released its list of the 100 most eligible bachelors. Listed are Glee actor Chris Colfer, Oscar-winning screenwriter Dustin Lance Black, Nate Silver, Perez Hilton, Gareth Thomas, Ronnie Kroll, gymnast Josh Dixon, Mika, and Christopher Rice.
Lady Gaga has canceled all the remaining dates of her Born This Way ball tour and will need surgery after injuring her hip. It was determined that Gaga has a labral tear of the right hip caused by strenuous, repetitive movements in her performances.
Trans entertainer and activist Chaz Bono has lost 43 pounds since announcing his public mission to lose 50 pounds last November. He has now increased his goal to 80 pounds. Pre-diet Bono weighed 250 pounds, and singer/DJ Boy George is making news for his weight loss as well. He has been extensively documenting his weight loss journey for months.
In London, Helen Mirren began performances in the West End premiere of Peter Morgan's The Audience. She is reprising the role of Queen Elizabeth II, for which she won the 2006 Academy Award for Best Actress for The Queen. Stephen Daldry directs.
Academy Award-winning actor Robert De Niro is set to direct a musical stage production of A Bronx Tale, a film he helmed back in 1993. Tommy Mottola will produce the show. Mottola is also working on a musical version of Curtis Mayfield's Superfly, spearheaded by out choreographer/director Bill T. Jones.
Out actress Jane Lynch from Glee will make her Broadway debut as Miss Hannigan in Annie, beginning May 16th and ending July 14th.
And legendary music producer Clive Davis, who signed Whitney Houston and Bruce Springsteen, among many others, comes out as bisexual in his new memoir, The Soundtrack of My Life. Davis details long-term, monogamous relationships with men for the past few decades and writes that his first same-sex encounter was during the era of Studio 54. And that's the Week in News, brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hello, this is your girl Lady Gaga, and you're on the Windy City Queercast.
Culture Club, Culture Club, Culture Club. Theater,
music,
dance,
art,
performance,
provocative,
hilarious,
exciting,
weird,
innovative,
campy,
edgy,
original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of February 25th, 2013, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Lifeline Theater continues its 30th anniversary season of Big Stories Up Close with a world premiere adaptation of China Mieville's thrilling crime novel, The City and the City. The City and the City runs Thursday through Sunday, now through April 7th. Tickets and more at lifelinetheater.com.
Janice Ian, known for her controversial hit songs At 17 and Society's Child, their significant contribution to American music history, and her long-standing LGBT activism, this unsung folk legend and new 2013 Grammy winner should not be missed. Janice Ian, one performance only at the North Shore Center in Skokie on Thursday, March 14th. For tickets, visit northshorecenter.org.
Chicago Shakespeare Theater's unforgettable season continues with Julius Caesar, Shakespeare's epic tale of ambition, betrayal, and consequence. Don't miss the most enduring political thriller in history, now playing through March 24th. Visit chicagoshakes.com for info and tickets to Julius Caesar.
Don't miss the Writers Theater production of Sweet Charity, scored for a live jazz combo. The Sun-Times calls this classic dance music a knockout, while New City raves. Sweet Charity is full-blooded, euphoric, soulful, and no-holds-barred fantastic. And the Tribune calls star Tiffany Topol outstandingly infectious and adds Sweet Charity lights up the stage. For tickets, visit writerstheater.org.
And Goodman Theater presents Teddy Ferrara, a gripping new drama by Christopher Shin. It's Gabe's senior year of college, and his future looks bright. He runs the queer students group, and he recently started dating a great guy. But when a campus tragedy occurs, it ignites a firestorm and throws Gabe's world into disorder. Get your tickets today at goodmantheater.org. Teddy Ferrara is running now through March 3rd. And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hi there, this is Deb Pierce reminding you it's okay. Go ahead, you're not alone. Post a comment.
So, Scott, Seth MacFarlane, you know, announced as this host, the joke was made that if you were over the age of 40, you probably don't know who the fuck he is.
Right.
You know, how do you think he did? Give him a score.
Well, I think I'm going to give him a 7.
Yeah?
7.5, maybe. I think a lot of it, like the scripted stuff that he did, like the sock puppet flight.
Hilarious.
But, like, what?
That was so funny. That was a Saturday Night Live sketch.
It was brilliant. It was like one of the, it was a Family Guy episode.
Yeah.
You know, like I think the writing that he did, like the little sketches that he did, that boob song.
Yeah, we saw your boobs.
The boob song made me, like, I was like, oh, he's just not.
And
a
Sally
good...
Field in the Trans Am.
Yes.
The Flying Nun.
Like all of that stuff I thought worked really, really well, but he's just not a live performer.
Yeah.
You know, he's a voiceover guy.
Yeah.
Who's really, really clever and really, really funny and really, really twisted. Even his jokes weren't all that subversive.
I wonder who they brought in, you know, to kind of help write, who was on that writing team, you know, because his writing team would be very different than,
Billy Crystal's.
A lot of these, well, definitely Billy Crystal's, but even just, you know, a lot of the award shows, I just think he would have a very different writing team.
Yeah.
It's like who writes with him for Family Guy or writes with him for any of his other shows.
Yeah.
Cleveland.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought he did a really good job. I think for some reason, I know this is weird. He totally butters my biscuit. I think he is dreamy.
He's kind of cartoonic in a cute, yes, kind of just like handsome cuss kind of way.
Yeah.
And a little weird looking, but also handsome looking.
Yes. And there's something that I'm like, yeah, it's
reminds
weird.
Me of the guy that won for Book of Mormon. Like, they could be brother and sister. They could be like brothers who now is on The New Normal. The two of them have kind of that same kind of, like, it's just scrubbed so shiny and the hair so black and it's all so specific. Like, yeah. Features are so, so specific. Like, the guy on The New Normal is, like, who won for...
He didn't
the lead
win.
And he was the lead, though, right?
He was the lead in Book of Mormon. What's his butt?
He's also is, like, the gay version of Seth MacFarlane.
Right.
Like,
the two of them, I think, like, Seth MacFarlane might be gay.
Oh,
I've always thought that.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Especially, I'm a huge Family Guy fan. I'm like, I love the Family Guy. Yep. That is some, like... messed up humor.
Yeah.
And there's so many gay references in there. Even like queer culture and camp. That's mm-hmm. stuff that like that we celebrate in our community that a lot of people just would think is funny, but it mm-hmm. adds an extra layer of funny because it's like a Mommy Dearest reference or mm-hmm. something like that. I think, I don't know, there's something I've always thought that he might be a little...
Who knows?
A little that way.
I know nothing about
him. Well, what did you think? How did he do for you?
You know, I think that I would agree with you. You know, I'd probably give him a 6.5 as a host. I'd probably not give him quite as much as you because I think that the stuff that he really excelled at, you know, from the song to the, you know, the songs and the videos, to me... You know, is not the part of being the host. You know, the host is like really taking whatever just happened and elevating it and soaring into the next moment.
Right.
You know, and I don't know that I think he was a little like haphazard. Like he just tried whatever.
He just kind of showed up.
Sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. You know, I think he was trying things, but I feel like, you know, he was a great content provider, but I don't know, to host and guide us through the entire evening.
Again, I think it goes back to the I'm not a comfortable live performer.
Yeah, I agree.
But he is strangely cute.
He is strangely...
So that's why he gets a 7.5 from the gay man.
And he was standing in front of a set that made Scott Depp happy.
Oh my God, that set was so awesome.
Yeah.
I loved it. I loved the little like light bulb stalactites and yep. stalagmites that yes. kind of happened. That was like
yes.
really, really beautiful. And then all of a sudden it's like, we're going to bring out a big IKEA shelf and throw film projectors on there. Like, I loved it. I thought it was awesome.
The set was great, especially behind Adele's solo. That
and
was gorgeous.
Sassy Bassy.
Yep, Shirley Bassey.
Dame Shirley Bassey.
That was your favorite
thing. Yeah. Oh my God, well, she's like, what, 1,000 years old?
And she sounded awesome.
She sounded amazing, and it took me a while. I was a little concerned with her dress because there was a strange seam that I thought the whole time was just kind of like a flesh fold
mm-hmm.
in her arm, and it looked like she had Barbie doll arms. Like, there were joints in them. Like, mm-hmm. she got Sassy Bassy arms stuck on her. Like, she was a Mr. Potato Head doll. But then I just realized it was her dress. But she was great.
She sounded like $1 million. And you know who else sounded like $1 million? And I mean,
it was Catherine Zeta-Jones. She sounded really good, didn't she?
She sounded really good in the studio.
She sounded very lip-syncy.
In that Capitol, when they said the orchestra is in Capitol Records
that's
Tower. That's what Catherine Zeta-Jones' voice is. I mean, she's so pretty, but
she's
I just don't want her to open her mouth.
Oh my God.
But I just think she's so pretty. It's interesting, we discussed...
Wait, who sounded good? I'm sorry, I cut you off.
Oh, it was Babs. I mean, you have two gay guys who, you know, produce Smash and do Hairspray, and they get Barbra Streisand back to the Oscars, who has not been back to the Oscars to do this
beautiful
little
homage.
Well,
she did. It was a tribute to, you know...
Marvin Hamlisch,
her bud.
But it was so sweet, and I love that, you know, Adele is kind of keeping the long extension nails alive, and you kind of got to see that in Act 1. Adele had them in Act 2.
Yeah.
The similar kind of hair and dress, but aged.
Yes.
And maybe a little less sharp nail, but the Barbra Streisand
nail. She was given some Babs nail.
The acrylics were all good.
The acrylics were there, and she
Between
would take an eye
90s.
Out. That way, she could skewer and fondue Kristen Chenoweth. Telling you, it looked like Adele wanted to eat her for like a snack. A delicious snack.
It is true. And the gays had definitely, besides having Barbra Streisand there, after the memoriam to Sing the Way We Were for Marvin Hamlisch, you know, they did this musical montage. Not very successful. I don't... Well, you know, it's like... whatever. You do a Chicago number, which we've already kind of ripped to shreds. But then, you know, Jennifer Hudson. I mean, she is going to have another moment to have a song, I hope, that becomes iconically hers. Like, she deserves to have the song that's iconically hers in the way that you know, Jennifer Holliday had that for the first time around. Like, she will so have what, that. So,
I'm going to hit you with my purse or something.
Don't make me hit you with my pocketbook.
There you go.
I love that song.
That'll be a part of her next movie.
And
role.
Then, you know, definitely I was getting texts from people who were like, I love Les Mis, because the whole Les Mis montage at the end. But, no. Yeah. I have not seen that movie
why
yet.
Why did they not turn down Russell Crowe's microphone?
I just think it was brave that he was there. I think it's
awesomely brave that he was there. I think poor man was terribly miscast. I think he can sing. I just think that his voice is not suited for the style of the music.
Yeah.
He's more like rock and roll, complaint rock. I could see him sounding pretty good in. But like, this is like some legit...
Isn't like his band called like Head of Toads?
It's something like that. You know, like Kabuki Douche or something like that. I don't know.
Oh my God. I will say that one thing that made me very, very happy was we haven't talked about really many of the awards yet, but I did think that it was very funny when they were going to announce Christopher Plummer to give the nomination.
The Sound of Music.
They did the Von Trapp family went to the door, and then the Nazi stuck his head out.
They're gone. That was pretty inspired.
That was funny.
See, again, Seth MacFarlane's scripted stuff.
Right.
Awesome.
Scripted stuff. Awesome.
Off the cuff,
and flowing the night along. So, you know, a really good year for movies.
Absolutely.
I mean, a really good year for movies. And I think that, you know, we got really far along our little ballots, which we did photocopy out of Entertainment Weekly.
Our weekly Bibles.
And Jess Cagle was on the red carpet and had references to Entertainment Weekly, of course, with Seth MacFarlane on stage. That everybody thought he was a good host, except for Entertainment Weekly. But as it was going along, and, you know, this was winning an award, this was winning a technical award, it was really interesting that it was like, well, Lincoln kind of had an award for production design, and Les Mis had one for hair and makeup, and Life of Pi got cinematography, and Argo got screenplay. It was like, everybody's getting one, you know, like Django Unchained got one.
Spread out.
You know, early on for Christoph Waltz, which I thought
There was a big upset.
Well, he won the Golden Globe, you know?
Hollywood foreign press. They love a Deutscher. And there's something always about that's just so weird to me about, like, I always expect, I think it's just because of Inglourious Basterds, his performance was just so off the hook.
I have not seen it.
Oh, it's like...
We're going to have to watch it one night. You're going to have to
come absolutely. Over. He's just delightful and giddy as this awful, awful Nazi.
Yes.
And so you expect him to have the same sort of like ribald sense of humor. And he just gets up there and is like, I'm awkward German. And I like to... my peers and like thank it's always just weird to me, like, I just want him to be funnier than he really is, but I think that's just me projecting something on him.
I mean, I think it's really interesting because I think many Academy voters would have loved to have heard Tommy Lee Jones or Robert De Niro. Well, probably love to hear Tommy Lee Jones, and I think I would have just really imagined that Robert De Niro would have been a real huge favorite in this category. He was my favorite in this category, even though I love Tommy Lee, and I would have not been sad either way. I just feel like Robert De Niro was so...
He was really
good.
It was
so fresh to see him really just be the amazing artist that he is.
And not be Robert
movie,
De Niro.
And not
really.
Be Robert De Niro. Yeah. And he was just really amazing. You know, with Tommy Lee's character in Lincoln, and much with Sally Field, I felt like it was an opportunity in Lincoln that they each had to do what they have done so well for a career worth of each of their like kind of ranges as actors. I felt like they got to put all of it in his character and in her character and what they portrayed in Lincoln. But for De Niro, I just felt like we hadn't seen this.
Like, he hadn't been nominated in a very long time, but this was a really tough category.
Yeah,
I didn't see The Master. I love Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah, he should be nominated
really
every
good,
year that he's in a movie.
Man, I bet you he smells like food. You know, like, there's not a pleasant odor about him.
Do you think?
Yeah.
I don't know. We could probably find that out. He was here for a
while.
He
was here directing a little play at the Goodman.
Yeah, it was a really good category, you know, and I have to say, probably he would have been nominated for leading and not supporting, but the French actor who is in Amour,
I can't bring myself to see it. I've heard...
It's a toughy film to watch, but I have to say, it's like literally... It feels so voyeuristic and like you're watching something that's like, I shouldn't be in the room right now. Not because it's like Zero Dark Thirty, I shouldn't be in the room, because it's terrorism, you know, it's like, you know, waterboarding or something like that. But just like, it's so intimate. Like, I just don't feel like I should be here. Or it's so, I don't know.
It's absolutely beautiful, but
it's a really transparent movie. And I don't know that I've ever felt that. I can't think of a film that made me feel that way in a really long time. But he was not nominated. So Life of Pi was
Ang Lee
winning for Best Director.
Yay.
I mean, what?
I was really rooting for that. That movie, if you haven't seen that movie, go see it.
Yeah, and you didn't even see it in 3D. I saw it in 3D, which I have told everybody. Like, I've only seen Avatar in 3D, and I saw... what's the thing with the zebra and the
Life of Pi? Madagascar.
Yeah, I saw Madagascar 3 with some kids in a 3D. Those are my two 3D movies. So, Life of Pi is really, I have not read the book, and I went with somebody who loves the book. It was like her favorite book ever, and then the other two of us had never read the book.
Yeah.
And it was breathtaking and moving. And
oh my gosh. I saw it by myself, which I think, yes, I'm like, I needed to be alone.
It's a spiritual experience.
It really is. And just to make this unfilmable movie.
Yeah.
Like a book, rather. You know, it's like, you're not supposed to be able to turn this into this breathtaking, because it's like, young guy on a boat with a tiger.
Yeah.
For a very long time.
Yeah.
And
that's
like,
a spiritual odyssey.
Yeah.
And we're going to make that into a movie. I mean, I think it takes real balls to make that kind of book into a movie.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, to take on the challenge of like telling the Iran hostage story, or telling a moment in history, Life of Pi, or even Zero Dark Thirty. You know, there's gripping, compelling, hard things about telling those stories, being accurate, trying to be sensitive to the time. But yeah, it takes real balls to go, I'm going to make an entire movie with an Indian boy and a tiger in a rowboat.
Yeah, yeah. It's just stunning, and like I recommend going see it by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Just preferably like late night on a, like during the week.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nobody in the theater. Just go and like sit there and just kind of watch it and like soak it in, because it's just gorgeous to look at.
It's so gorgeous to look at.
It is stunning. Absolutely stunning. And the direction of it, like, you know, there's that he had a vision and there was something that he clearly wanted to achieve. And it touches you in a weird way.
It's interesting because, you know, Ang Lee has just had this really diverse career. If we think of like Sense and Sensibility, we think of Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. You think of Brokeback Mountain, of course.
Which is when he won his last Academy Award.
Yes, but the film didn't win, which was such a shame.
Well,
because
gay people.
Yeah, whatever. Gay cowboys. But, you know, just so diverse to then, you know, I've heard a lot of people say, you know, he's a great clinician. He's a technically great director. But this film feels like it's very personal. Like, it actually feels like it's the most heart-driven film that he's wanted to make. And I don't know if I think that's true, because I think Brokeback Mountain is so
I think Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon is so heartfelt.
Yeah.
That movie.
Well, and even Sense and Sensibility. But I think it's just...
Okay, we've just totally disproved everything.
But I'm just saying, there are a lot of filmmakers who say, you know, he's just this great technician, so if anybody was going to be able to make this movie, it's Ang Lee.
It's going
to
be him.
But he's not this kind of... You know, many people have said he's not the Spielberg. You know, these soaring, childhood, inspirational, whatever. But I disagree. I think he's made a very inspirational movie with this movie, and very soaring and, you know, huge emotion. And I just think it's a really beautiful
movie. How do you feel about Steven Spielberg? Do you think he's sad right now?
I don't know. I mean, I think when you're Steven Spielberg, do you really have right to be sad any day of the week? I mean, maybe
absolutely.
One day a week.
One day a week, you can be sad.
You know, he's just so talented, and he has the beautiful Kate Capshaw to his
side.
Time's
out. Why the fuck was Kristen Stewart sitting in front of him?
I don't know.
I don't understand. It was weird. That one, I don't know. I'm sorry. Go ahead. She's got Kate Capshaw. Go.
I don't know the Twihard whole thing. I don't understand it.
And
either.
What, did she do like a giant rail bump before she came out to present? She was twitchy and weird and upsetting.
Bruised. Her hair was messed up and she was stumbling.
And she was stumbling. And maybe, I think she did hurt her foot.
Okay.
If I recall my Us Weekly correctly.
I don't know.
But man, there's one that...
That is... Girl is a mess.
She is a mess.
Girl is a mess. I'm sorry, I'm yawning. Not because you're boring, but because we're still talking about the hours, and it's been 5 hours. And I've only had one bowl of pho.
I know.
No, but I agree. I don't understand the whole... That's why, you know, Jennifer Lawrence, I thought, was a surprising win. I know
that she fell on her way out.
God love her.
How perfect.
Yeah.
She also totally swore on the red carpet.
Yeah.
Talking to Kristen Chenoweth, she actually said, does a bear shit in the woods?
Yeah, I love her.
I love that
Tennessee
goofball.
Or Arkansas or
some Mid-South person.
Yeah, Mid-South person. But, you know, I mean, I think it's fantastic that she wins. I mean, I think, honestly, this year with Hunger Games and this, you know, to really just show that she can carry a big franchise movie and make a really great...
what's basically an independent film.
Yeah, independent kind of family. You know, to me, this is in the category of, I mean, it's funnier, but like, you know, in terms of endearment or ordinary people, it's that kind of family, emotional, you know, good, normal people, you know? I thought that was really, really, really excellent. I mean, I'm surprised that she won over Emmanuel Riva. But I'm not surprised that she beat Jessica Chastain.
I'm sorry, Emmanuel Riva, she barely had a chance because they... I mean, she's French, and she's... I know what's...
And they gave
it
to a French guy last year.
They gave it to
a
French guy last
charming.
Year.
But he was charming.
Oh, yes, he is.
And he's good-looking.
Oh, yes, he is. Jean, whatever, I don't care. Just do that crazy smile.
Yes.
And...
Zhuzh me.
And arch your back.
I think that the really fantastic that the lesbian moment of the year, Brave winning animated feature.
If you could change your fate, would you?
I love that the director's daughter's name is Maeve, so he named this character with this gorgeous red hair who is just such an independent spirit after his daughter. I mean, what an amazing legacy to give your kid.
Right.
But I was so happy for Brave.
And I was happy the director wore a kilt.
And the director wore a kilt.
I enjoy a kilt.
So that was really pretty exciting. You know...
We got to talk about DDL. Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yes, let's do.
Of course.
Well, of course he won. He's so freaking charming and sweet. Doesn't he just seem like you just want to just hold him?
Yes.
He just seems like... And he and his wife look like they... I can't even imagine them having sex. Not because they're not pretty people, but because they seem like...
Awkward.
They seem so cerebral, and they seem so smart and kind, and kind of like just, we're just going to hold hands here and go through life. I don't know why I'm thinking of that, but this is what I think of after midnight sex. But they're both so pretty. I mean,
they're
Rebecca Miller, Arthur Miller's daughter, and Daniel Day-Lewis. I mean, they're just like artistic royalty between the two of them.
Yeah, he's... I mean, I feel bad for every other actor that was in that category this year.
Because there were some great performances.
Really good performances.
And I could have added
a really great job. Oh, yeah. I mean, it was...
The man in... I would have added the man from Beasts of the Southern Wild. I thought he was fantastic.
He
was
phenomenal.
I would have added the gentleman in Amour. I would have added him. You know, equally brilliant performance.
Right. But he kind of just blew it out of the water.
Joaquin
so
Phoenix.
Good.
And I have to say, in any other year, and I think Meryl Streep kind of said it, like in any year, this is...
Denzel Washington in Flight.
Denzel Washington in Flight would have been... It's my favorite Denzel Washington movie ever, and I'd not said that since Glory.
Since The Pelican Brief.
Yes.
Yes.
When he looked at Julia Roberts, and I really felt like...
Like, yes, and Julia Roberts was... Quivering lips.
I don't know.
Anyway, but let me tell you, if you think Flight is just about a plane crash, it's so not. That's another one. It really is worth a watch. That plane crash is also very harrowing, so I would do it not when you have a trip coming up.
And don't watch it on a plane. I don't know if they'll ever show that on a plane.
Ever. I don't think they would ever show that on a plane.
Yeah. Can you imagine, like, and now as we fly to Shanghai, we're going to show season one of Lost.
We got
to
roll it over. We got to roll it over. Yeah.
No, it's a great, great, great
movie.
And Denzel
Washington is fantastic in it.
He is the movie.
He really is.
He's fantastic in it. I mean, there's great performances in it, too, but he's just... And, you know, this person was not mentioned tonight as a nominee, but we were sitting here, their good friend Heather Schmucker, watching the Oscars, and John Goodman had a great freaking year.
He most certainly did. I think every movie should have John Goodman in it.
Right.
And Tracy Ullman.
Yep.
I think John Goodman, Tracy Ullman, and every movie should also have a partner of Meryl Streep and Stanley Tucci. They should always be partnered together.
I agree.
That's it.
Why not? This was not a very gay year for the Oscars, but How to Survive a Plague was nominated for documentary feature.
Excuse me? Ben Affleck's beard? That's pretty fucking gay.
Richard Knight Jr. loved, you know, just thought this movie was extraordinary. I know you did. I know. Which Mitchell. Movie? How to Survive a Plague.
Oh, wow.
The AIDS documentary. Yeah. And Mitchell Fain thought this was just a brilliant documentary, and you did too, and so did Richard Knight Jr. And amazing that it was nominated. It did not win tonight, but
yeah.
But really,
the thing
really
that really struck me about that particular documentary is that it was it's about the AIDS crisis. It's about ACT UP and the origin of it. But it for being about death and illness, it was so hopeful and triumphant and empowering. Like it really, it's pretty special.
Yeah.
It's pretty special.
Yeah, I need to definitely see that. I kept waiting for there to be a moment, you know? I mean, you loved the 50th anniversary Bond moment.
Yes.
They didn't do a ton with it.
They didn't do anything with it. They should have had Daniel Craig.
They could have brought all the Bond girls out. They could have done a million things.
I think the Bond girls would have been a bad idea.
Yeah, because they wouldn't have looked so hot.
Because they wouldn't have looked so hot anymore. I mean, like, Pussy Galore at how old now? I mean, really?
I mean, I just felt like they kind of didn't do enough with that. So, but awesome that they're acknowledging.
And they brought out Sassy Bassey.
They brought out Sassy Bassey. That was kind of enough.
And she could walk out.
Girl, she could sing.
She was singing
her ass off. So kind of kept waiting for this moment. You know, there's been all this momentum around Argo. Of course, Ben Affleck not nominated as Best Director. It was referenced many, many, many times.
Yes. Too many times, I think.
Yeah.
Like, we get it.
We get it. But, you know, Argo walks away with the Best Picture.
Mm-hmm. And rightfully so.
And he gives, like, a super moving speech.
It was really great.
You know, of just talking about I was a kid and I didn't know Jack when I was here 15 years ago and you gave me one of these and then, you know, life will knock you down. And, you know, it's not really about being knocked down as a given and, you know, how you get back up. And it was just, you know, I just think I really, you know, think that he is an enduring talent, you know, and has really worked hard. And, you know, he got off course, probably, you know, making some of those big action.
Jersey Girl.
And then what was the, he did it for love.
Though. Oh, and he tried to do
What I Did for Love. What was the superpower movie that he did? He did.
I'm a blind man.
Daredevil.
Yes, but he also tried to do that.
Pearl Harbor.
That.
He's made some bad choices.
Yeah, he tried to do that. That other franchise that. The Harrison Ford used to be. I can't remember. It's Jack somebody.
I can't remember.
I don't know.
But he went out there, and I think you know it's really interesting. You think? I'm sure that. I'm not sure, but let's just suppose, I guess, is that, you know, Hollywood saw him. He's a striking, handsome leading man. He's just won a Oscar, you know, as a screenwriter with Matt Damon. You look at him and you're like, you're our next bankable guy. This is how we see you.
Right. Oh, yeah.
You know, and people start throwing money at you and you want to see you that way because maybe you will be the next Tom Cruise or the next whatever, you know, big leading guy thing. And I just don't think that's truly who he authentically felt himself to be. And so, it, you know, it feels like he really wants to be a director and a producer and really, you know, act some, but also do all these other, you know, movies and wear these other hats. And so it's so amazing that he's been able to, with The Town and with Argo
and Gone Baby Gone.
And Gone Baby Gone, you know, really kind of ease his way back up to that stage.
Yeah.
I thought that was the most moving. That was the moment of the night and the closing songs. Like, we had to wait like the whole night for the finale.
Yeah. But it was a good payoff.
It was a good payoff. So, who do you think should host the Oscars next time?
I think it should be Scott and Amy, except maybe sock puppet Scott and Amy.
Oh.
I think that'd be good. That'd be very meta.
I still want Neil Patrick Harris to host the Oscars. You don't love him?
I do.
You just want him to do the Tonys?
But he does the Emmys too. You know, it's like,
oh, he is doing the Emmys?
He's had the Emmys the past couple of years.
That's
so
right.
It's like, enough already.
What about Melissa McCarthy?
Oh, that might be fun. I'm with Seth. I'm all about Tina and Amy.
Yeah.
I think they're fun.
Yeah.
I think they're very much fun.
They did a good job with the Golden Globes.
They most certainly did.
They are lovely, delightful ladies. I think sisters are doing it for themselves, honestly.
They
I think
are.
They need to have more women doing it.
Whoopi Goldberg is the only woman that's hosted.
Yeah. I mean, they never asked Ellen to do it. She did the Emmys, but they never asked her to do the Oscars. Ellen could do the Oscars, too.
Ellen could do the Oscars. I'd say a vote for Ellen.
A vote for Ellen?
I vote for Ellen.
Well, as we're saying, sisters are doing for themselves. The first lady, the big sister, now with her new bang and her pink lip.
Yes.
She's totally trendy and on point, Michelle Obama. You know, I don't know. I mean, not in my memory do I remember a president or a first lady. They've done addresses to the Academy Awards, but to have her announce and I'm just going to throw this out there, but at one point in the middle of her speech, she was talking about our enduring spirit and what these films talked about. And she said, you know, and it shouldn't matter who we love.
Yeah.
I think there's momentum, folks. And we're seeing it in Illinois. For those of you who are fellow Illinois state members, and we're feeling it around the world, as you just heard in our international world news today. And, you know, hopefully we're hearing it across the land as we're heading into the U.S. Supreme Court. I'm starting to hear our case, too, for same-sex marriage in DOMA. So, everybody, that's our Oscar wrap.
Yeah.
I need to go hit the bed.
Oh, dear Lord. I got to walk to my house now.
Yeah, but it's just across my yard.
I know, but it's...
You can sleep here.
It's
I'll make
so
you warm milk
far
right
away.
Now. I'll sing Skyfall to you.
I am sitting Skyfall and something else.
I could sing Goldfinger to you, too.
Oh, maybe I'll sing Goldfinger.
On your way home?
On my way home. I need to keep myself awake.
Okay. We'll try.
All right. Happy Oscars.
Happy Oscars.
Merry Gay Christmas.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.